Okay. Good morning. It's very exciting for me to attend the workshop on theories, which may enable me to have a contact with many theoreticians in the future. I noticed that this session is Oki side, but since I prepared in advance, knowing this subtitle, I would like to talk about several Oki side and ytterbium and some cerium compound system, if time allows to me. I will strictly confine my talk within 50 minutes. My collaborators, Dr. Sekiyama and Professor Imada of Osaka University, and I'm mostly doing experiment in Spring 8, and we are collaborating with several groups in Japan and in foreign countries. Mostly, I may spend time on these two materials and another two ytterbium compound system. I recognize the role of high-resolution photoemission spectroscopy in the soft X-ray region as follows. In many materials with strong electron correlation, bulk and surface electronic states are different. For theoretical analysis, are required reliable knowledge on genuine bulk and surface electronic structures. And high-resolution spectrum, high-quality samples are usually required. And by use of the state-of-the-art soft X-ray photoemission spectroscopy technique, such studies are now feasible in Spring 8. Here is shown one example of the Fermi edge spectra of gold, which is measured around 900 eV. Experimenters know that this kind of measurement provides very poor statistics and very difficult to realize high resolutions. But in our case, we are measuring photoemission spectra in this energy region with a resolution of around 80 millivolt conventionally. By using, in this system, we use a grating with the density of 600 groups per millimeter. By using the 1,000 group density grating, we can easily realize the resolution better than 20,000 near 1 kilovolt, which means soft X-ray photoemission up to 1 kilovolt could be done with energy resolution better than 80 or 100 milli electron volt. we know that on high quality sample surfaces, much more bulk sensitive results can be obtained than reported so far. First subject is strontium calcium vanadate. This has a 3D1 system and metallic through the any X value and remains paramagnetic down to 50 millikelvin. So Fermi liquid behavior is observed. In this sense, it is the simplest strongly correlated transition metal oxides. Still, the bandwidth W may change through this system by VOV, bond angle change, from 180 degrees in strontium and 160 degrees in calcium vanadate. So in this sense, it is ideal for photoemission study. And effective mass shows a moderate increase through this series, and electron-specific heat is also 6.4, 7.3 millijoule in these two systems. So electronic structures near the Fermi level seems to be rather similar in this system. For example, Dr. Inoue published a paper in this journal, and the effective mass normalized by the band mass calculated by LDA doesn't change so much through this theory series. The high-resolution bulk-sensitive photoemission studies of perovskite are quite important in whole strongly correlated systems, because the perovskite is a fundamental structure of high TC cuprate. And this shows the difference of the bond angle, difference between 180 and 160, and as a result, the bandwidths are thought to change considerably from this series. The nice experiment was done by Inoue and collaborators around 7 years ago, and they have found a strong X dependence of the photoemission spectra at a low photon energy excitation. And they claimed that the momentum dependence of the quasi-particle surface energy is essential. And they have initiated the discussions of photoemission on these systems. Here is summarized the most important results of their paper. They did the experiment on the polycrystal samples, and sample surface is scraped, and photoemission is measured at heading 121 electron volt. And strong X dependence of the spectra is observed. For example, in the case of calcium vanadate, the strong incoherent part is observed in addition to the very weak coherent part. Then one moves to strontium system. The incoherent part is suppressed and coherent part is increased. Still, the change near the film level is clearly observed in this system. Here is shown the APW band calculation and density of state. This is almost equivalent between these two systems. Still, the experimental results are much different. The whole of this series, the incoherent peak, this part, is too strong. And one may wonder why. According to our discussions, this is due to the surface contributions. The later, the measurement on the same system on single crystals is done by Maichi et al. And although it is not essentially related to my talk, but they have found the phase separation at the surface. And they have also separated the contributions of the surface and bulk spectra. And some result is reproduced here. This is a LSDA band calculations, which show only the single peak here. But helium 1, this solid circle, helium 2, empty circle, and aluminum K alpha lines shows both incoherent and coherent part. And one notices that the coherent part is much stronger at the aluminum K alpha excitation. And coherent part is stronger for the strontium system. So in a sense, the result by Maichi et al. On single crystals are better than the former results, but the surface cleaning is done by repeated scraping. Scraping means surface is not a single crystalline materials, but similar to the rough surface or powders. And as a result, still the incoherent peak intensity is very, very strong. And also the energy resolution of 0.45 eV is not enough for accurate discussions. However, even in this result, one can do the deconvolution between the bulk and surface spectra, as shown for two materials. And bulk spectra, this part, this peak, qualitative agreement with the dynamical mean field theory calculated by Harvard Hamiltonian. However, the question is, are these spectra obtained for scraped surfaces, this part, scraped surfaces, satisfactorily reflecting the bulk and surface components? This is a question. The answer is not straightforward. We have done the high resolution measurements on cleaved or fractured surfaces in the soft X-ray and ultraviolet radiation light on single crystal strontium, single crystal, mixed crystal, and polycrystal calcium vanadate. You may recognize how important is the high resolution photoemission in wide photon energy region, because depending upon the photon energies, very clear difference is recognized for whole materials which we measured so far. And this H-nu dependence is much sharper than previously observed because of the better quality of the sample surface. And bulk component, coherent part is much stronger than the incoherent part. So this kind of tendency is only explicable, even according to the Meitsch et al., the increased bulk sensitivity at higher photon energies. And also, one recognizes the mean free path represented by the intensity of the coherent part decreases downward toward 21 electron volt. So these results suggest us how important is the wide energy photoemission spectroscopy with high resolution. The experimental spectra is a sum of the bulk spectra and surface spectra weighted by this exponential term. So this exponential term means the A is the surface thickness. Lambda is the mean free path of photoelectron. Above 200 electron volt, the mean free path, photoelectron mean free path, are relatively accurately calculated by theories, by Tanuma et al. And the mean free path at 900 eV is 17 angstrom, and 275 eV is around 7 angstrom. By assuming these two parameters here, and also assuming the surface thickness A in the range of 5 to 7.5 angstrom, we can deconvolute the bulk and surface component. The bulk contribution is already near 50% at 300 eV and near 70% at 900 eV. So by combining photoemission results at different photon energies, particularly above 200 eV, we can precisely get the bulk sensitive photoemission spectra. To my surprise, the results for strontium and calcium vanadate, the bulk spectra are rather similar among these three materials. This is in strong contrast to the prediction and low H-nu photoemission, as I explained already. However, this result, particularly the almost no difference at the Fermi level between these materials, are rather consistent with the electron specific heat behavior and magnetic susceptibility behaviors of these materials. I have already explained about the bulk spectra, similarity of bulk spectra. And FLPW band calculation is done by Harima et al., and it is plotted by this thick dashed line. And due to the electron correlation effect, the observed bandwidth of the coherent part is around 60% of the prediction of band calculation. And also the spectra, even when the bandwidth is reduced by 60%, the spectral shape is somehow different to each other. So spectral function is modified by electron correlation effect. And this spectral weight is transferred from this part to the incoherent part, as you recognize, immediately. The intensity at the Fermi level is well reproduced, however, by the band calculation. This result suggests that self-energy has nearly negligible K dependence, in contrast to the preceding papers. And here is shown, according to the courtesy of Professor Anisimov and Fohart, private communication, the LDA plus dynamical mean field theory calculation by quantum Monte Carlo method is plotted by the solid line. And you can notice the relatively good correspondence near the Fermi level. So this is a status of the strontium calcium vanadate. And in addition, last message which I can get from our result is surface spectra derived from soft X-ray high resolution photoemission spectroscopy by deconvolution of these marks are much different from those given by Maiti et al. Because even in the surface spectra, the coherent part is rather strong in these materials. And here, it is much weaker. The second, helium-1 spectra, shown by the solid curves, are very similar to the surface spectra in all materials. Thus, high-energy photoemission spectroscopy is inevitable to discuss bulk and surface electronic states of correlated systems. So, next subject is V6013. This is a typical material which shows the metal insulator transition at 145 degrees Kelvin. The nail temperature is 55 degrees Kelvin. In the metallic phase, both the 3D1 and 3D0 are present with the relative ratio of 2 to 1. we have done the measurement under the resonant photoemission conditions. However, the Auger contribution is not so prominent in this case. And in the metallic phase, one can immediately recognize the Fermi energy cutoff here due by the coherent part and the presence of the incoherent part here. And one recognizes that the Fermi cutoff is not at the middle point, but at the rising part of the threshold here. in the insulator phase, you can recognize, of course, the band gap. And this band gap is evaluated as 120 millielectron volt by extrapolation. This is smaller than the gap estimated as 200 millivolt by helium-1 spectra by Eguchi et al. And published in Physical Review B65. You can recognize the paper here. So we did the angle resolved photoemission spectra on this system. So far, the ARPES in soft X-ray region was thought to be not practical because of the poor angular and energy resolutions. But it is possible now. I will demonstrate it. The you know the photon wave number is finite. At 1,000 electron volt, it is around 0.5 inverse Ångström. And when you measure the 45 degrees incidence, then photon momentum is 0.3 inverse Ångström. And on the contrary, the brilliant zone wave number is 0.6 inverse Ångström for a lattice constant of 5 Ångström. So photon momentum transferred from the photons to the photoelectron is rather small, just 30% or of the order of 20% of the 2 kb. And in the case of photoelectron, the wave number is represented by this equation proportional to the square root e, So even when the energy becomes 100 times more, the angular resolution becomes only 10 times worse. So by use of the state-of-the-art angular resolution of 0.2 degrees, one can probe 4% of the full brilliant zone at 1,000 electron volt. So it is practical. So we did the experiment. One can utilize the resonant photoemission, as I said. And this is a result in the metallic phase, and this is a result in the insulator phase. In the metallic phase, you can recognize the dispersive coherent peak crossing the Fermi level, in addition to the incoherent part here. In the insulating phase, you can recognize the opening of the band gap, and also the appearance of the incoherent peak near 0.5 electron volt. In addition, you can recognize the another incoherent part around 1.5 electron volt. This summarizes the second energy derivative of the dispersion, which are observed in metallic and insulating phase. So as I said, you can see dispersive coherent part, incoherent part, two incoherent parts in the insulator phase. As I said, two incoherent bulk peaks are seen. This may be due to the equivalent sites. One possibility is somehow related to the paramagnetic V4 plus and V4 plus singlet spin states. In the case of helium-1 high resolution ARPES, only one incoherent peak is observed in the insulating phase. So the bulk sensitive spectra provided additional incoherent part, as you recognize here. As for the dispersion of the coherent part, one can plot it in the momentum distribution function. And this clarifies the Fermi level cutoff, or KF is 0.3 KB. Now this is coming from the states of the V4 plus and 5 plus mixed band. And band minimum is at least deeper than 0.5 volt, as you recognize two peaks here. So 0.5 volt is the energy region where the in the original spectra, around here. So the coherent part is dispersing downward 0.5 eV at least. This is my conclusions on the V6-013. Please?
May I ask one question about this compound?
Yeah.
So it has a metal insulator transition at 145 Kelvin.
Yes.
And is there a structural change to that condition?
Structural change, yes. This atomic arrangement, this is a one-dimensional VO system. VO is aligned parallel to the B axis. And this atomic arrangement changes below the 145 degrees. So the inequivalent vanadium site appears below this temperature.
So there is some degradation of the vanadium in the insulating phase?
So the pairings takes place in this B axis VO system, VO chain. The next example is Kappa-O one-dimensional chain. And Chan-Yong Kim and Zahin Shen reported this spin-on holon separation in this system. And in the case of a cleaved strontium Kappa-O2 structures, cleavage is realized between strontium O2 planes. So this is a side view of the cleaved surface. And at the surface, you can recognize strontium O2 plane. And the Kappa-O chain should be the second and the third lattice planes in this system. So from here, one may recognize the oxygen 2p state on the surface and oxygen 2p state in the first layer and second layer may be different. This result shows the helium, not helium 1, but the 20, around 22.4 eV ARPS results of strontium kappa O2, and which has shown the continuous dispersion from zero to half pi, from half pi to pi. And some scattered electron states are recognized, and they have reported the result with subtracting this scattered electron component into these panels. And we interpret this scattered electron state is coming from the incoherent part.
Excuse me, what's the difference between A and B?
A and B, this is in the Brillouin zone from zero to half pi. B is the Brillouin zone region from half pi to full pi. Yeah. And this is an original result, and this is somehow treated, normalized results. As a result, from 0 to kb, one can see rather symmetric dispersions. And in addition, one has seen the additional branch here. And they claim that dispersion is much stronger than the case of two-dimensional systems. And it is ascribed to the more freedom of spinon and horons in the one-dimensional system. And calculation is done by TJ model or PD model. And their result, for example, in the TJ model provided by using the J 0.2 volt and T 0.6 volt, by using the approximate equation like this, U over T for this system becomes as large as 12. And the whole branch is coming from the Horn dispersion, and this additional branch below half pi is ascribed to the spinon branch. So we did the baroque sensitive ARPS on these materials, and the result, original result is shown here. You can recognize the dispersion, clear dispersion here from half pi to zero to half pi, and rather small dispersion beyond half pi toward three halves of pi. And here again you can see the quite large dispersion. So the dispersion in this region is found out in the baroque sensing mode to be much smaller than the low H nu results. This is a density plot of the original results, and you can see the dispersion is like V type, and dispersion is much weaker, much smaller, from half pi to three half pi. And momentum distribution curve provided us rather V type dispersions, and gap energy should be at least 0.24 electron volt in this insulating system. So what is the difference between low energy pests and high energy pests? Low energy pests is mostly probing the oxygen 2p states because of the cross-section effect. 700 eV photoemission provides a few times more intensity to the kappa 3d states. So as far as we probe the strongly hybridized oxygen 2p kappa 3d state, then ARPS dispersion may be similar. But if we probe the states with a weaker hybridization, that difference should be observable. The difference of the behavior in half pi to three halves pi suggests that we are probing different states. We are probing kappa 3d states, and low energy photoemission is probing oxygen 2p state. And this oxygen 2p state is not only coming from the kappa O chain, but also coming from strontium O chain, strontium O surface. So the result is different. Therefore, baroque sensitive photoemission is again very, very important even in the case of high-TC cuprate. The Baruch-Alpes results are well explained by one-dimensional Hartfield-Hubbard model with U over T of 4.5. T is 0.4, U is 1.8 eV. This is in strong contrast to U over T close to 12 obtained from UPS. The dispersion from 0 to half pi and very broad and small dispersion beyond half pi is reproduced, and also in the momentum distribution curve, V-type dispersion is reproduced. This calculation, Hubbard model calculation, is done by Dr. Tomita, and quantum fluctuation effects on the response functions are completely included in this system. According to this model, the broad widths of the observed structures corresponds to the multi-magno excitations coupled with the photo-excited hole. In contrast to the large U system, where the spin charge separation is observable, we have significant spin charge coupling in the intermediate correlated electron system, represented by U over T of 4.5. This is our interpretation of the strontium kappa O2 system. So up to here, I have talked about oxide systems within 30 minutes, and I have still 20 minutes. Therefore, may I move to ytterbium system? No? In the ytterbium compounds, Kondo peak is accessible by photoemission, whereas Kondo tail is accessible in cerium compounds, as you know already. In the case of cerium compounds, resonant photoemission technique is applicable. However, this technique is not effective in ytterbium system. Still, the cross-section of the ytterbium 4F is very large, even in the soft X-ray region, and in both cases, cerium and ytterbium cases, bulk-sensitive soft X-ray PES is feasible, no problem, on our beamline. This is a very good work reported by Hao Chen, early 90s. The result is obtained on polycrystal and scraped surface at low photon energies of 100 electron volt. One can see very strong surface component and very sharp bulk components. Peak shift, this Kondo peak shift between 10 and 300 eV is of the order of 20 millivolt, from 35 to 55 millivolt. So as a whole, it is 20 millivolt. In order to get this kind of evaluation, and also in order to get the balance of the system, the deconvolution into surface and impurity state were inevitable for this system. However, due to this kind of contributions, the high precision is very difficult to realize. Therefore, we did the bulk-sensitive photoemission, and the result is as this. Surface component is suppressed so much, and the some component may be hidden here, but this is measured on the very high quality sample where the Dohars van Alphen effect is measured. Therefore, impurity contribution is absent in this system, almost absent. And our measurement is on high purity single crystals, cleaved at 200 degrees Kelvin, and cooled down once from 200 degrees Kelvin down to 20 degrees Kelvin. And the spectra which I have shown here is normalized by ytterbium 3 plus state intensity. So I will show the full energy range of the spectra, and often some contamination is observed after few hours. But in our system, the contamination is almost absent, and the relative intensity of the 3-valent 4F state is very well reproduced by atomic calculations. So we could get the really reliable data on ytterbium aluminum free. So the peak shift could be measured just from the original data or after dividing by the Fermi function convoluted by Gaussian. This is the last latter example, and peak shift is quite clear from 20 degrees Kelvin to 200 degrees Kelvin. The shift is quite clearly seen in this system. So the peak shift is in the original data and divided data. This peak shift is of the order of 14 to 15 millielectron volt. However, the peak shift of the trivalent 4F component is almost negligible. So the next question is how to treat these experimental results. We assume three spin orbit doublets. First one is, of course, bulk component, and second one is a fast surface layer. Then we have also assumed a second surface layer because the asymmetry of this peak is somehow noticeable, and without assuming the second surface layer, we should use very large asymmetry parameters. And as I said, impurity may not contribute to this spectral shape, so second surface layer should be assumed. As a result, we can get the valence of this system as 2.65 at low temperature and 2.71 at high temperature. So valence change is 6% in this case, and energy shift is 14 millielectron volt. So this is a valence change and peak shift. And in order to reproduce this results, we have first assumed the parameters which can realize the peak positions and valence at 20 degrees Kelvin. And by employing the single impurity Anderson model, NCA calculations, with the hybridization in this trapezoidal shape, we calculated the spectra at 200 degrees Kelvin. Then the valence became 2.74, and peak shift became 10 millivolt, which is a little bit deviated from this result, 2.74, and peak shift should be 14 millivolt, here 10 millivolt. And two spectra seems like this. Not seems, two spectra are like this. So this does not reproduce the experimental results so well. Therefore, we have used different hybridizations with keeping the 4F level energy at the same position. So this parameter provided us the resultant condo temperature as 700 degrees Kelvin and 800 degrees Kelvin at high temperatures. So valence is well reproduced, peak shift is 15 millivolt, very close to 14 millivolt, and outer appearance of the calculated spectra is very similar to the experimental spectra. Okay? So SIAM is a good starting point for ytterbium system. However, still some hint of lattice effect is given by the choice of different parameters. So we are partially happy, and we ask the theoreticians to do some more efforts on the lattice effect in the case of ytterbium aluminum 3. And the next example is this ytterbium indium kappa 4, which is a heavy fermion compound and shows a isostructural phase transition at 42 degrees Kelvin. And below this temperature, the volume increases abruptly by 0.5%. At Kondo temperature is evaluated to be 30 degrees Kelvin above TV and 400 degrees Kelvin below TV. So this is a good target again of the high resolution bulk sensitive photoemission. So far, many photoemission results are given for this system. For example, at 60 electron volt, the temperature dependence of the photoemission spectra is given here. One can see a sharp Kondo peak for the divalent component, but in the trivalent component, it is not sharp at all due to the overlap of the strong kappa 3D component. The surface component, even for the 5 halves, is somehow not easy to deconvolute by the kappa 3D contribution. So more reliable experimental result is required. The Huffner's group reported this kind of a balance change from 2.8 down to 2.55 across the temperature region from 50 to 150. Very gradual balance change against the temperature is reported. And they have ascribed this effect to the presence of subsurface layer. The Moore's result, which I have just mentioned, has shown the result like this. Between this low temperature regime and high temperature regime, the intensity of the divalent peak so much changes. So they have plotted these two points on this curve. Because the bulk balance change should be like this by thermodynamic measurement, and X-ray absorption measurement should give this kind of a drastic balance change, we have plotted just these two points. However, I do not agree this analysis, because in this region, there is a discrepancy. As I have shown already, this is a region where the surface contribution is much stronger. If a surface contribution is weak, what happens on this peak? Can one just plot this kind of discrete change or not? And I expect if this is normalized, this becomes right here, and it's rather continuous. So we did bulk sensitive photoemission. And in the region where the discrepancy was observed, it's just almost degenerate. So surface contribution doesn't influence the evaluation. However, the peak intensity drastically changes. I will show it later, drastically changes as a function of temperature. And in addition, one can see the discrete energy shift of the trivalent component in the whole energy region. On the other hand, this peak energy shift of the Kondo peak is very small. Kondo peak is located at 40 millielectron volt at low temperatures, but does not shift much with temperature up to 200 degrees Kelvin. However, the trivalent peak shift is noticeable as large as 55 millivolt. So the peak position of the Kondo peak does not directly scale the TK because it should be 400 degrees Kelvin and 30 degrees Kelvin below and above the balance change temperature. So in this sense, the more theoretical work is required. For example, the peak shift of the trivalent peak is very clearly shown here. There is a large gap between 40 and 50 degrees Kelvin. Yeah? This peak shifted 55 millivolt, and rather drastic. And when one does the photo emission at 1500 dB, the relative intensity of the divalent and trivalent peak intensity changes just drastically near 40 degrees Kelvin. And even the more bulk sensitive absorption, 3D4F absorption, provides you the difference of the absorption intensity. So, bulk valence transition is clearly observed in the bulk sensitive photoemission and absorption spectroscopy. There was short summary on the ytterbium indium kappa 4 is like this. Bulk valence transition is observed. General behavior in the bulk sensitive high resolution photoemission is consistently interpreted without considering the contribution subsurface layer. Tentative evaluation provided us the variance of 2.95 and 2.88 in this system. However, the peak position, condor peak position, is not scaled with the bulk condor temperature. Some more efforts will be required. So, I have still few minutes on cerium. On cerium, we have published several papers which analyze the bulk sensitive spectra on cerium ruthenium system, cerium palladium X system, and references are given in these materials. The general conclusion is NCA calculation on single impurity Anderson model could well explain the 4F states and the condor tail of cerium compounds, except for cerium ruthenium 2. This has some still discussions with Jim, but we have such an impression. The point is like this. In very low condor temperature systems, one may think that the surface localized 4F states are not much different from the bulk electronic states, which is already well localized. Second, one may also claim that the spectra near the Fermi level are not much influenced by the surface effects because the surface states are localized in the deeper EV. These two speculations are not well grounded. I will show the proof of them. This is a result of two cerium ruthenium compounds. The surface sensitive 4D4F spectra provides much different spectral shape than the bulk sensitive 3D4F spectra at 880 volt. The condor temperature is around 20 degrees Kelvin in this system and more than 1000 degrees Kelvin in this system. So even in the near Fermi level, the surface contribution is very, very important. Surface contribution cannot be neglected even near the Fermi level. Second, as far as the low condor temperature system is concerned, the spectral shape can be well reproduced by the single impurity Anderson model. However, the realistic crystal field splitting should be taken into account the analysis. Otherwise, the line shape can be reproduced by much higher condor temperature, which is not realistic at all. So, lattice crystal field effect is very important for the NCA analysis. So far, the results of the condor tail is well scaled with the condor temperature. However, in the case of cerium ruthenium 2, as I said, which has more than 1,000 degrees Kelvin of condor temperature, the spectral shape cannot be reproduced by the condor tail. Of course, some contribution of the OJ contribution is present here, but it cannot reproduce the full line shape. Here is reproduced the band calculation by Harima et al. For cerium 4F states and ruthenium 4D states. You may recognize the experimental points are both rather well reproduced by the band calculation. And both components are located in the same energy region due to the strong hybridization between ruthenium 4D and cerium 4F. And this is a total bandwidth of the cerium 4Fs near the ferrum level is relatively comparable to the prediction by band calculation. So I will go to the next example. Cerium, rhodium, arsenic. This is a condo semiconductors with a condo temperature of 1500 degrees Kelvin. What we observe is a prominent peak near the Fermi level and some structure here. And the difference between blue and red curve is whether one is exciting below the absorption maximum or just on the absorption maximum. So I agree that this part is coming from the OJ component. I agree. But other part, except for this part, is not coming, not much influenced by the OJ. And here, the rhodium 4D state, which is observed by the off resonance, is contributing to the spectra. So the although other compounds like cerium nickel tin, cerium palladium tin, provides a condor tail near 50 millivolt, this peak is located at 140 millivolt. And the midpoint is delayed by 23 millivolt. So this is reflecting the gap opening in cerium, rhodium, arsenic without any ambiguity. So the low photon energy photoemission is very recently published in Physical Review by these people at 126 eV. I will compare the results. First, low photon energy 4D4F photoemission provides well-screened, poorly screened peak. However, well-screened peak is much, much prominent. And this part of this component may be coming from the poorly screened peak, but mostly coming from the rhodium 4D state. So low photon energy photoemission is probing surface states, and this one is probing the bulk states. And even in the narrow energy region near the Fermi level, they have seen the some structures and spin orbit satellite. However, this spin orbit satellite is almost absent in a high resolution photoemission, bulk sensing photoemission. So the choice of the excitation photon energies is quite important. And I'd like to give my message that you should rely upon the bulk sensitive photoemission spectra to compare with your results, with your theoretical results. Okay? Now I will conclude my talk with giving some conclusion. Yeah. You can read a summary by yourself since I have used 48 minutes. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for amazing set of data. I have a lot of questions, but yes.
I have a question concerning RIS-6030. So you have insulated with somewhat below one electron.
Yeah.
Is it known if there's any kind of ordering or is there any indication for what's the
One possibility is, as I said, that's a spin singlet and spin paramagnetic component. But this energy scale may not be so large as the one electron volt. So most probable interpretation is the lattice distortion effect. And orbital ordering is not reported on this particular system. No one has tried to measure it.
Yeah, Steffi.
I'm a little bit bothered by the implementation of the having the 4F2 configuration of the random option turbine, which is non-inductive, it's a full shell. And you have a skipping there. So what you mean is you kick out of the Ytterbium 2 plus shell one electron, you leave behind an Ytterbium 3 plus shape with 7.5 and 5.5. What is this meaning? In short spectra,
no.
Ytterbium 4 has 2 plus. So 2 plus and that is cool. It's near the split.
Yeah,
that has a full shell.
What do you mean? In the case of divalent for ytterbium, its final state is 4F13.
No, 14.
Final state, photoemission final state, 4F13.
So the ytterbium 3 plus is either, so that is that the general notation? Or
general notation,
So the notation is with initial state rather than final state.
Okay.
So, Antoine?
Is it possible to put some of the experiments in the magnetic field, uranium in silicon, would be very nice to go to the magnetic condition?
Yeah, of course, magnetic field effect may be less for the high kinetic energy photoelectron, but still the magnetic field distort the electron orbit considerably, and so far I have never seen the photoemission result, which is done under the magnetic field application. No. No chance, perhaps no chance at the moment, at the present technology.
George.
Your background of the Canadian 6013 again. Maybe you can show the picture.
Yeah, okay.
With the coherent and the incoherent, mm-hmm. the 80 pendants, with the coherent going to the chemical potential.
Yeah. you are talking about this?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it looks kind of spacey because there's the coherent part which is crossing the chemical potential, but the incoherent part seems to be rather constant in intensity. Generally, in a just Fermi liquid type of picture, you would expect the incoherent part to really drop down in intensity quite rapidly as you move across the chemical potential in K.
Mm-hmm.
So here that doesn't seem to happen.
No, in this case not, yeah.
Yeah.
But is this a raw intensity or a second derivative?
This one is, of course, this is a second derivative.
Second derivative, so.
But of course, original intensity.
You saw it in the picture.
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
Another one, this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this intensity is still finite, as you say, yeah.
Still quite hard.
Yes.
Even though you're far away. What about that, right? I mean, in London, for example, recently there was an experiment group that overlooked that in what time London field. Yeah, that's, I think it's from a K-dependent picture with a self-energy, that's rather difficult. So if I want to describe it in a dynamic field theory sense, I mean, I could, but now we're closer to K-dependent. So, if you have K-dependence like this, then generally, as soon as your coherent part gets depopulated, it's above the chemical potential, so there is no quantum particle actually around it. That's pretty good. You then also would expect a strong decrease.
You'll say that in this region, the intensity should be much smaller?
Yeah.
Is it a system for the D1 electron system? In this case, this is the electron numbers is less than one. So there may be some difference.
No, even there.
Even there? Yeah, I don't know the reason why.
You take the self-energy in the kind of, you just put a coherent part in the lifetime goes by E squared, then you will get these kind of curves.
And
indeed it will be so, that's exactly what you say. But maybe it's a really strong correlation with hard bands pushed out. Maybe it will then go differently.
Well, thank you, Michael. The curves I showed you. Yeah, well, that could be. But that in fact is a very interesting observation going, shall we say, it's a very important observation because it determines your Fermi surface, whereas the incoherent part still stays there. So in a dynamic new field theory sense, this is a very important thing to try to explain. That indicating tendency you have actually something crossing the potential as a function of A, crossing the potential where the incoherent part is actually remaining intense. I think it's not easy to explain.
But the picture that Jim shows is insulating, filling of the gap. So if you consider that you're close to the insulator, you're something like a filled insulating gap, and now you develop a quasi particle. Then you are in a situation where you have incoherent contribution close to the Fermi energy plus some k dependence and upwards. If you cross the Fermi energy, you still have incoherent state.
Well, I'm questioning, there's nobody that has theoretically shown anything like that. Let me put it that way. Experimentally, I think so.
In the one-band Hubbard model, it's...
Oh, but the incoherent part, decreases very rapidly as we go above the central point. Oh, yeah. I've done many exact diagonalizations in one-band Hubbard model.
This is
strongly dependent on temperature. No, it decreases very strongly. Yeah. In the first place, in one dimension, you don't have this quantum particle because you can start with. But if you do an exact diagonalization, then and cross the chemical potential, you then find that most of your spectral wave then comes into the electron addition part of the spectrum, and you don't keep that large amount in the electron removal part of the spectral function. So it shifts over to the unoptimal part. I think so that's
good. Yeah, okay. So, any further questions? I have one question. You claim in one of your viewgraph on Stone-Singh Vanadate, the momentum dependence is negligible.
Yeah.
I compare some, it's LDA.
This one?
Ah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
But you can make that statement only when you normalize the you made that statement because the density state that the chemical potential is
the same for
same,
different materials, yeah, and also well coinciding with the bond calculation.
You can say that when you normalize the experimental and theoretical data to the same area.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. If you have an extra spectral weight for incoherent spectral weight in experimental data, so
in this case, total area of this calculation and this experimental spectra is conserved the same.
Yeah, but then if you, okay, sorry.
Yeah,
if you narrow this, then you should increase vertical scale to conserve the spectral weight. Then you reach the conclusion that momentum dependence is not negligible.
We have just kept this peak positions as it is and just narrow this. So the spectral weight became just close to 6% of the calculation.
Yeah.
So this part is, since the height is the same, this part doesn't change much in this energy scale. If you narrow it and the area is conserved, then peak becomes higher and this intensity may be increased.
No.
But in our case, it isn't.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
The thing that I find really remarkable in this high-energy photonician data is that finally the height of this polyparticle went back to the Dettinger value.
Yeah, oh, okay.
The Dettinger value, which makes them extremely happy.
Okay, so you can make that statement. Yeah. Okay. Then any other questions? If not, let's thank all the speakers this morning and close the session.